Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Bam, bam.
We're back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. NFL was back this weekend. Hallelujah. Still want to hear your Sunday NFL viewing traditions, your habits. Did you get into them right away or are you rusty like us? Let us know. 590, 590. Always available on the text line. Our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and Westwood One analyst. Ross, it's been a while. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's so good to hear your voice. It's so good to be back. It was awesome to see the Buffalo Bills on Thursday night. I'm sure we'll get into that. I'm glad Don Valley Lexus is back on board this year.
You bet.
And, you know, it's funny. Do you want to hear my Sunday routine?
I would love to.
So this might be weird. I don't know. But so I always do a game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then I get home or wherever Saturday night. This weekend, I actually was at my cousin's wedding Saturday night. So I'm always typically shaking off the cobwebs a little bit Sunday morning. And then I do the Eagles pregame show. I actually do it from my house. So then when the Eagles game starts at 1, because I do a lot of Eagles-related things, I always have the Eagles game on one TV and the Red Zone on another while I work out. I work out the entire first half.
Okay,
I go
from chill.
The stepper to the bike to the stepper to the bike to the treadmill, and then I get off at the two minute warning. I get off. I stop working out so I can cool down before I shower. I shower at halftime of the Eagles game, and then I'm totally refreshed. I go to like my downstairs man cave theater room deal. And watch the games, you know, watch the Red Zone and Eagles game for the rest of the day. Then I start taking my notes on everything during the late games and then fight to stay up as long as I can. I stayed up till it was 19-3 last night.
It was kind of boring other than that, eh?
Yeah, once I realized the game's over, then I'm done. And then, of course, right when I went to bed, I guess Dak got hurt.
I think that's exactly what happened to us last night. Mm-hmm. Is, you know what? We're done. We got to be up early. We're going to bed, and Dak Prescott fractures his hand.
So maybe it was bad luck.
Maybe we should all stay awake, even if it seems boring.
I like your tradition, Ross. I think that probably differs from a lot of people's. I'm not being active for the entire game. But
I made a snack to get my second win. I didn't work out.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, let's start with that Bills hype, though, because obviously you know who you're listening to, and a lot of Bills fans up here in Toronto. I think we can say that the preseason hype looked pretty valid after that game.
Yeah, I would say so. And I think a lot of the things that they did, we kind of already knew, like, hey, Stephon Diggs is good. Okay. Hey, Josh Allen's a good quarterback. Yeah, we knew that. I guess the thing that impressed me the most are the things I wasn't sure about. And so I'll give you a few. One was, they were clearly the better team up front on both sides of the ball. And in particular, I was really impressed with how the Bills D-line and in particular their D-tackles played. So, you know, Von Miller looked great. I mean, Von Miller is great. He's going to look great. He's kind of like in the Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs category. But Jordan Phillips and Ed Oliver, when he was out there, those two D-tackles, they played really well. And if they can wreck shop like they did, the Bills are going to be nasty. And then the other thing is, how about the rookie sixth-round pick out of Villanova? Mm-hmm. Christian Benford playing that well. It's funny, I'm actually calling the Army-Villanova game this Saturday. But I'll tell you what I love about it. The Bills have a first-round pick corner. Most teams would just play the first-round pick corner. Oh, we picked him in the first round. We actually traded up. Like, got to play him. The Bills were like, no, you know what? the sixth round kid from Villanova is actually better right now than the first round pick from the Florida Gators. Mm-hmm. And I just like the message that that sends to the whole team and organization. Like, you got to earn it. We don't care how you got here or where you're from. Best guys are going to play. It's not like that everywhere else, even though it should be.
You know, moving on maybe to some of the Sunday's games, I was locked in on Steelers, Bengals. Joe Burrow didn't look so cool in the first half. Five turnovers, seven sacks by the end of the game. Are we worried about Joe Burrow and the Bengals? Is it too soon to do that? You know, is the offensive line still going to be a problem? What are you thinking when you look at Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yeah, so first of all that being said, they still should have won the game.
Absolutely.
I mean, isn't that crazy? if they just make an extra point, they still win the game, which is pretty wild. I don't expect Joe Burrow will have very many days like that. Mm-hmm. I do think the offensive line will be better. I think the Steelers' defense is good, as always. And also, the whole O-line is like new pieces. Mm-hmm. So they kind of have to come together. I would say more than any other position, continuity and chemistry mm-hmm. really matter up front. It's like anything else in life, right? The longer you work with someone, the longer you, especially like in your guys' role where you're like co-hosts, you just get more comfortable the longer you work with somebody, mm-hmm. and it usually goes a lot better as a result.
Just following up on your point about Cincinnati, I mean, they made so many mistakes, and we can talk about Burrow and the O-line and certain things that maybe went wrong, but again, they only lost by 3 points in overtime. They just needed, one of those kicks to go, one extra play.
Who didn't?
I know. Kickers, I tell you. Is that more of a commentary about how good the Bengals could be this season, or, you know, how bad the Steelers' offense might be this season, that everything the defense did, the Steelers just couldn't really convert touchdown, et cetera, when it really mattered?
Yeah, well, I do think that the Bengals have a pretty good defense, but I'm not expecting the Steelers to put up that many points this year. I mean, that's probably about what I'm expecting, is the Steelers' goal is going to be like to get into the 20s and hope that the defense can hold them for less than 20. I mean, they're going to be very much a defensive-led team. That's just how they are. Their offensive line's not very good. Now Najee Harris is banged up, although Steelers are in trouble because their best football player might be gone for the season with T.J. Watt with a torn mm-hmm. pec, and they're just such a different team when he's out there or not.
Okay, so one other thing that we were kind of surprised about, or maybe we didn't give enough narrative to over the last while, was Patrick Mahomes yesterday. I know it's been the Josh Allen show, and I've definitely been a part of that all season long, all off season, talking about how he's going to be the QB of the century and how he's going to lead the Bills to success. But did we maybe overlook what Patrick Mahomes can still do and need to give him still the credit that he deserves?
Yes. I think that's very well said. You know, this is natural, I think, right? We're always kind of into the next big thing. You know, like at some point we kind of like Mahomes, oh my gosh, Mahomes. Then it's like, oh, Josh Allen, oh, Joe Burrow. It's like we always get real, even Kyler Murray to some extent, right? Like it's almost like some of these guys, Brady suffers from this. Like Brady led the NFL in touchdown passes and yards last year, and it's like nobody even noticed. We almost get bored with the things that we're used to seeing and accustomed to seeing, and we almost take it for granted. Mahomes is phenomenal. I mean, I think I tweeted yesterday at Ross Tucker NFL, Tyreek who? Because there was so much concern about the Chiefs and Mahomes and the offense without Tyreek Hill. Well, they put up like 40-some points. They had 37 points with like 5 minutes left in the third quarter.
They looked totally fine. All the questions. What's Mahomes going to look like without Tyreek Hill? Turns out he looked pretty good. Totally fine. Shifting to tonight here, Ross. Broncos-Seahawks, big Russell Wilson revenge game. One thing Ailish and I have been kind of kicking back and forth, we're curious. Who has the better advantage in a game like this? Is it the quarterback who knows the team that he's about to face? Or is it the coach who knows the starting quarterback on the other side?
It's a great question. And I want to say a couple things about this. Number one, and I've said this other places, and I mean it, I think it would be an absolute disgrace if Seahawks fans did anything other than give Russell Wilson like a standing ovation when he first runs out. Mm-hmm. And then the whole rest of the game cheer on the Seahawks and hope they kill them and hope, you know, hope their team wins. But this notion that like Pete Carroll is kind of like, yeah, maybe they boo him or whatever, you know, whatever he's intimating, mm-hmm. that to me is a disgrace. I mean, Pete Carroll doesn't even have that job anymore without Russell Wilson. Most of those people that are fans aren't even really fans without Russell Wilson. I mean, a lot of people got on the Seahawks bandwagon over the last 10 years. So I would say that. As for your question, I don't know. I think it's about even. I think it depends a lot on the coordinator as well as how much of the personnel is the same, because clearly the Seahawks know Russell Wilson's weaknesses. You know, I thought it was interesting in the first half yesterday. I think that I want to say the Browns tipped like four Baker Mayfield passes because the Browns know that Baker Mayfield struggles with that. The Browns know that's an issue for Baker Mayfield because he was there for 4 years. So they told their D lineman, get your hands up. He's only 6 foot. We can bat balls down. So I'm going to lean to the team over the quarterback because the team really knows the quarterback well. Mm-hmm. Whereas for the quarterback, there's always going to be new defensive backs and the coordinator for the other team is going to change things up.
I wonder if there's a little bit added incentive that might push them over the edge with Russell having to, you know, kind of put a big statement game together. But on the other side, you know, Geno Smith coming in, taking that position, and maybe both of them are kind of playing for some bragging rights tonight.
Yeah, to me, it's kind of hilarious that Geno Smith's the starter for the Seahawks. I mean, what are they even trying to do? I mean, I, you know, there's other guys that were available, obviously Jimmy G. And look, I know the Niners wouldn't have wanted to trade Jimmy G there, but if it was by far their best offer, I think they would have strongly considered it. I just, you know, the Seahawks didn't really try to get Baker Mayfield. I just feel like they're sending a terrible, terrible message to their fan base with having Geno Smith as their starter. And the thing that's funny to me about the Seahawks fans is they're all like, it's almost like they just assume, oh, it's okay. You know, we're going to be bad this year, but then we'll just draft a quarterback high and then we'll be good again. Like, as if it's that easy, you know, like, oh, it's just that easy. All you have to ever do is just be bad for 1 year, draft a great quarterback again, and then you'll be good again. Good luck, Seahawks fans.
It'll make for good TV tonight, for sure. Ross, appreciate you joining. You know, Dartmouth and Princeton gearing up for a big year ahead. I just wanted to say that the Ivy League preseason favorites were Harvard and Dartmouth tied for first. So we'll have to have another competition this time around. We'll set some betting odds, or we'll set a prize like those Take Five bars next time you're on the show. Okay.
Yes, that was awesome. Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ross. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
That was Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and a Westwood One analyst. He's back, and our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit donvalleynorthlexus.com. So I know you weren't around for this part of the year, but last year we were interviewing Ross for a while, and I felt like, oh, I'm going to mention that, like, you know, he was a all Ivy League player at Princeton. And I eventually one day mentioned that I went to Dartmouth, and then we got in this heated battle where it was down to the wire between the two teams and who would get the Ivy League title. And he, on some sort of tangent, we started talking about food that America has that Canada doesn't have. because I lived in both. And obviously there's some things that are like, what? Do you have ketchup chips? Anyway, apparently there's these bars that exist in the States that he was very high on called Take Five Bars. And we hadn't ever had them up here. Blake and JD and myself at the time hadn't had these Take Five Bars. So he said, well, if Princeton wins, you have to send me, I think it was like something else. I don't remember what he wanted. And then he had
Should have been all dressed chips.
I think honestly it was some sort of chip because I was all over the chips and I still am. And then I said, well, you got to send us Take Five Bars. And so Dartmouth edged out Princeton in standings and he sent us a box of Take Five Bars, which are very good.
Is it the Reese's?
Yes. They are like a...
Googling chocolate bars.
Yeah,
right
they're
now.
Like a chocolate peanut butter, crunchy pretzel, salty peanut, smooth peanut butter.
It was known as Max 5 in Canada,
I
but
know.
Has since been discontinued.
Okay, so we didn't know that there was like a knockoff or like a Canadian version of it, which I have found now. And oh yeah, Chad from Peterborough texted in. It was Coffee Crisp we were going to send him. Because there's no Coffee Crisp
Coffee
in the States.
Coffee Crisp is great.
I know. Thanks,
Love
Chad.
A Coffee Crisp.
Chad's an
yeah.
OG. Thanks, he remembers Chad. Listening. So yeah, we're going to send him Coffee Crisp. He sent us Take Five Bars. They were pretty good. So maybe that'll be the wager this year, unless you think of something different. Text line 590-590. Should we up the ante? Should it be bigger this year? This is year two of the Dartmouth-Princeton rivalry. I don't know. Like
king-size bag of all dress chips.
That would be pretty good.
I don't know.
But there's how... cross-border shipping. Like I looked at like the box when it was arrived, and I think he paid like $30 to ship it here. I'm like, I'm obviously not making Ross Tucker money. So he didn't maybe
I'm sure
expensed
he
it.
Yeah.
But he sent us a box of like six chocolate bars that ended up being probably like close to $50+. So
I feel like you've got to go with something that's a little bit lighter, which is why the chips
yes,
make
chips.
Sense because they're half air.
It's a sneaky way to be like, hey, yeah. This is very lightweight. And at customs, like,
yeah,
I think they opened the box also, the Take Five box, just so, like, to see like what was
what
in
is
there.
Happening here.
It's a very strange thing to send to someone.
It's just a bunch of chocolate bars.
That was it.
I don't know. My favorite thing, like a Canadian treat again, it's the all dressed chips.
Ketchup, like we didn't have all dressed or ketchup in the States. And my parents would drive down to watch my games and the hockey team would be like, can you get them to bring like chips that we don't have here?
So. Ketchup chips? I can't. I ate a whole bag of them once and now I will never
just
look in that. Well, like the whole bag in one sitting and I've never
Is that something
looked
that,
at
that's
them
not
ever
common
again.
For you? Because I often do that.
I will do that with all dressed chips. Whatever. Moving on.
Okay, so that's our buddy
chips,
Ross Tucker.
8 in the morning.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's ever a time that I wouldn't talk about chips. Text in 590-590 if you have an idea for me and Ross to bet on. I found this hilarious story on the internet before we go into the Wake and Rake. I know a lot of people think that their fantasy football league is the best fantasy football league and they got the coolest traditions, but I saw this group of individuals, my team that has been going for quite a while, a legacy league, they did the following for their fantasy football draft, okay? All 10 of them flew to Punta Cana and went to an all-inclusive resort. Okay, that's pretty good.
Nice.
It's pretty standard. Yeah. They hired a videographer to film the whole thing and create content with, like, the legit camera and everything.
Okay.
They kicked off their trip with a green jacket ceremony for last year's winner, like a feast, long table. He sat at the head in a green jacket, just like the Masters green jacket. He was catered. It was glorious.
Okay.
The last year's loser had to do a calendar shoot and present and print out a calendar for every person that was there. And they're like very silly calendar
right.
photos. Like he's in props and he's like
Miss
doing.
March or, yeah, what is it? Miss May, Miss March. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Like like each month he had a thing. Each month had a full theme. And then they did a full combine, like running, lifting, sprinting, jumping. I'm sure there were some other ones that they didn't show to determine the draft order. And then they flew home.
Oh.
They did the draft.
And they didn't do the draft in Punta Cana?
I think they did, yeah.
Oh.
But they didn't, like, okay, I didn't get the whole Netflix series of this yet.
Right.
But I just saw, like, it was like I think the girlfriend made it and was like, you think your boyfriend's fantasy football league is cool? So my boyfriend's league did.
Oh my
and I
God.
Was shocked.
I keep seeing these things on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok. It's like, yeah, your boyfriend's a doctor. Like, my boyfriend's about to manage a football team for 15 weeks.
That went very viral.
It's like, as you're telling me that, it's cool, but also a little cringe. I think that's fun. Like, I'm sure that's a memory for all those guys. And, like, you're on a vacation with your buddies, basically. Was really weirded out by the combine until you told me that it was for the draft order at first. Like, why are they running and sprinting and jumping? Is it just for fun, for their own
that
test of strength? But that's actually kind of a fun way to do the draft order. It landed. At first, I was like, "Where? What is happening?"
I think that would be really fun for like a bunch of friends that used to be athletic, and then to be humbled by the fact that like your 10-yard dash, you like pull a hammy. Like I've seen those videos floating around too.
Yeah,
I think my friends, we all used to be athletes, and now we are in that transitional period where we are no longer athletes, but we like try to be active.
Yeah. I can't imagine trying to run a 5K right now.
No.
I mean, I will, and I'll get really upset afterwards.
Yeah. It's tough. I would love to actually know what people do for their fantasy football drafts, because I think it's such a special, unique
making it
tradition.
Fun is really cool.
We didn't do that. Oh, we did do, to determine the draft order, you had to pick, you got randomly selected a horse from a random Woodbine race track, and then you just, whatever your horse placed, that's the order.
Oh, that's
I actually
fun.
Really like that, because there's like no skill ever required. Like, I was like, horse number 10, and that's what happened.
My fantasy football draft, we didn't do anything fun. I was actually in Copenhagen, and the draft started at 8 o'clock.
Did you just auto-draft?
No, I refused to auto-draft.
Good.
But it was like, started at 2:30 in the morning. I had the seventh overall pick.
God.
And I think I went to bed at like 3:45.
You're
probably
grinder.
Didn't fall asleep until 4 because I was agonizing over my hatred of my team.
That's tough.
Within 15 minutes.
I'm sure a lot of people are waking up this morning thinking that their fantasy football team has no chance.
Yeah, anymore. I lost it yesterday.
I was in
Trevor
that boat.
Trevor Lawrence.
But
public enemy number one.
He got me 14 points.
He was totally
points.
Fine.
Out of a projected 18. Anyway, I'm losing currently,
fine.
But I have three players remaining. My opponent has one player remaining. It all rides on tonight. We will do a preview of tonight's major narrative game, the return of Russell Wilson against his former team. I like that Ross Tucker was like, don't boo him. I agree.
Yeah. Why would we do that?
It's going to happen, though.
Yeah.
The odds on him getting booed are minus 5,000.
Yeah. Did you see what DK Metcalf said? Somebody asked him, like, what do you think about the fans?
No.
Russell Wilson. He's like, I'm not a fan, so don't care,
shut
basically.
That down real quick.
It's like, oh, come on.
Serious Sally.
Tell them to be nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I get it. You're enemies now.
Big staple game. Also, Jays and Rays. Huge staple game as well. Tonight, starting their homestand, five games, doubleheader tomorrow. Jose Barrios on the mound. We'll set up Broncos, Seahawks, and hopefully make you guys some money with the Wake and Rake presented by Unibet. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With JD, Blake, and Ailish.
Time for the Wake and Rake, brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. I'm joined by Haley Salvian this morning for a couple days this week. You can find her stuff at The Athletic, national hockey writer, and now national betting expert through Unibet.
Ooh.
Are you a big bettor? You sprinkle a little bit?
It depends. I will, because I do feel like sometimes it can elevate your
definitely
game watching experience if you feel like you do have something on the line and you're putting your money where your mouth is. So I'll dabble, but I am a very anxious bettor, so I feel like I can't do it too much. Like, I'll put money down and then I'll just be kind of a mess watching and screaming. And
that's why my motto.
There's people around, I don't bet.
Yeah. I've always championed that just $5. You know, just $5. Put just $5 on something.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Easy enough.
It's like when I go to, if I go to a casino or something.
Yeah. Just sprinkle a little bit.
Just a little bit. Never enough to actually make anything, but.
Hey, it adds a little bit of fun.
Not great.
A little bit of incentive, responsibly. Yeah. I like it. Got one text in about what I should do with Ross Tucker and our bet. This is actually a friend of mine's dad. Hey, Elish, it's Danielle's dad from Penetanguishene, Bruce. Hey, Bruce. You and Ross should put up one of his college jerseys for one of yours. I lost a bet and I had to wear a Leaf jersey. It was awful but funny in one. I have like one. I only have one of my jerseys and it's framed. So I don't know if I can take it out of that. It just means I have to win, though. Then I won't have to do it. But I like that. To wear a Princeton jersey would be a sin almost. So yeah. I like that. I don't feel think really... I don't think Ross Tucker is going to send me his jersey, though.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
How many do you think he has?
Probably many.
All right. So
we'll see. I like that option. We'll put it in the bank. We'll put it in the bank. But I don't want to have to take mine out of the frame because it's not going back in there.
No.
It was like professionally, like I didn't do that myself. They presented that to you your senior year. I didn't go get my jersey frame myself.
Right.
They presented that to you with like a nice plaque and like.
I feel like you could just go to Dartmouth and say, hey, can I get another jersey?
I don't think they have mine hanging around.
Distinguished.
It's been given away.
Alum.
Yeah. It's been given away. That's a good
one. You
know
who I am?
I like that one. Thanks, Bruce. Keep it coming. I also had another fun story that I found online that I think will spark some conversation, fantasy football related. So this is not to say that anyone should do this, but if you're listening, it could be an interesting tidbit. This woman online and her boyfriend broke up. Tragic. She then had his login still for fantasy football. So as a type of revenge, she went in and dropped all of his players and picked up free agents such as Colin Kaepernick, Rob Gronkowski, Larry Fitzgerald, a bunch of players that are not currently playing in the NFL, and created an entire new, like, changed his whole roster up in a revenge plot.
My God. I feel like that's the kind of thing that people get very angry about.
I would think so.
Like, especially if you're going to Punta Cana for your
that'd be tough
draft and all your hard work in the combine and on
is
your
that
trip.
Crossing a line to do
I
that?
Mean did she go on his phone? She's had the login.
No, on her laptop. Apparently he was still logged in.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of cruel. I guess it depends on the context of the breakup.
She did not provide that information,
right? You know, did he deserve that?
Probably.
Or did things just not work, you know?
I don't know. It's tough to say, but
I feel like that's not something I would ever do.
I would hope not, Haley.
You know, I don't know if that's particularly ethical, but whatever.
Just the thing that happened. You know, people get really intense about the fantasy football.
And, like, did everyone in his league pick up all of his players?
Oh, probably.
You know what? I bet he could probably be like, guys, this is what
happened.
Unless
they're like, on her side and they're like, you deserved
it. Right. Right, and it's just like, ooh. No, dude, like, I'm taking...
I see where his friends
Russell
lie.
Wilson that you just dropped.
That's right.
Yeah.
Possibly.
That's a tough one. That's rough. Not great. It's very mean. But we don't have all the details, so maybe he deserved it.
Maybe
it was crossing a line. I'm not big on the logging into other people's stuff and going through the phone, invasion of privacy, but also it's just fantasy football. And
for
I say
people,
that as somebody who
just
screams at a television.
It is
no,
their
like,
life.
I was very angry yesterday over just fantasy football. So easy for me to say. I get very angry about it. So
tonight is a big game, Broncos Seahawks. As we said, it's going to be the Russell Wilson revenge game. I have three really important players playing on my fantasy team tonight. Javonte Williams, kicker Brandon McManus, and then I have the Denver Broncos defense.
Ooh.
All riding on tonight. I'm a big Broncos fan, apparently. I'll help, hopefully getting me over the hump to beat my opponent, who has one player. Who does he have playing tonight? Jerry Jeudy. So it's going to be a bit tough, but I'll be keeping an eye on betting wise and fantasy wise on tonight's matchup. We talked about this with Ross Tucker, and we sprinkled it around today about the incentive and the energy going into tonight's game when you're a former player playing against your opposing team. Now, either Russell Wilson's coming in with the upper hand that he has played with those players. He knows them. He has that incentive to come out and prove himself with a new team, or the other way around where the coaching staff knows Russell Wilson very well. They know what he provides. They know how to shut him down. Ross Tucker said it's close, but he thinks that the coaching staff and the team would have a little bit of an edge tonight. Where do you fall on this?
you know what? I think it is close. You know, especially, you know, it's not like the Seahawks defense is going to be the exact same. Maybe they change some things up. You know, the Baker Mayfield example he gave against the Browns, how, you know, they were good on the tips. They know what he's going to do. I think it's important to keep in mind, but I also think we need to consider, like, do we think Russell Wilson and Baker Mayfield are in the same tier of quarterback? You know, sure, you can say, I know what he's going to do, but it's always easier said than done. And again, Tom Brady and Russell Wilson aren't in the same tier of quarterback at this point in time, but many people know what Tom Brady's going to do. They think they know what Tom Brady's going to do. It's another thing to stop that person. So I think that's a big, big thing to look into. Russell Wilson, Geno Smith. We did hear from Ross Tucker that we don't know what's going on with Geno Smith. Maybe the Seahawks front office is just way smarter than all of us, and there's something with Geno Smith that we are about to find out about. But, you know, one of the lines we were looking at, Ailish, was Russell Wilson passing yards.
Yep.
Over 253.5. The line is minus 114. Mm-hmm. So this is another thing with my betting. I like the storylines. I like to cheer for something. For me, if you are big on the Russell Wilson revenge game, he gets traded, might get booed. Russell Wilson comes in and has a massive game. I don't know. 253.5 is a lot. I believe he averaged about 222 passing yards last year. But if we look at the start of the season, start of week one, 13 quarterbacks had well over 253 passing yards in week one. You know, Patrick Mahomes, Matt Ryan, Justin Herbert. There's some big names on here. But, you know, Jameis Winston, Ryan Tannehill, like there's some guys sprinkled in here who would have hit that same over, who maybe you wouldn't expect. So I think if you're big on the Russell Wilson revenge game, he's going and he's playing against his former team. He's going to have a big game. He's going to go off. It's like, I would take that.
That was one of my favorite bets of the day.
Right? I'm big on that because I would love to see Russell Wilson go in and have a big game.
Oh, I'm betting on him to do that. It's his chance to make a huge statement on the national stage. I think it would be actually quite disappointing if he had like less than 300. Like, you know, I really expect him to go all out today.
We're going to hit the over.
I do think we'll hit the over on that. I do wonder, and it's hard to bet. Like, I like to bet with my heart and my gut sometimes, and maybe that can be a little bit tougher when you go up against analytics, like as you said, but I do believe, and maybe it's because I've played, but emotions and excitement in a game can really give somebody that, like, Serena Williams, like at the US Open, we talked about this last week. Like she used that crowd. She used that energy. She had a lot to prove and she got, I think, much further than people had expected.
I think Russell Wilson has a lot to prove. I think the Denver Broncos have a lot to prove, right? I think this is a team in a situation, a quarterback who are coming into the season who want to silence some doubters. Show people, actually, we do know what we're doing. This is going to work out. So I feel like it's either going to be a big disappointment for the Broncos or a massive, fun, exciting game. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to lean towards the latter. I'm with you.
All right. So we're definitely going to put that. Is that going to be your wake and rake pick?
Yeah.
Nice.
Give me Russell Wilson over 253.5 passing yards.
I love it. I was also thinking about maybe some players that are going to be receiving a lot. Cortland Sutton was Wilson's go-to receiver in like pressure situations, and I think he's got some good chemistry with him in the offseason, but he's averaged like 53.5 receiving yards per game, and the line is actually really high. I think it's at 60.5, which I do think that there's, with Wilson, he could do some damage.
Is that too high for
I think
you,
it's
though?
A bit, it's an interesting line. I think I was surprised. 55.5 is kind of where I saw it open. It's been it's been moved up a bit.
Right.
People are betting it. Seahawks defense was ranked 31st in pass defense last season, so he could easily surpass this 55 or this 60
like
number.
If you want to go all in on Russell Wilson having a big game and you believe that Cortland Sutton is going to be his guy, it's conceivable that there's over 60 receiving yards, but that is kind of a high line.
I wonder if I should bet against Judy because he's against me today in my fantasy. No, I can't get that deep. But the line is Broncos -315 on the money line, which is heavy favorites, and they're favored by a touchdown. The spread is -105, so at 7. Over under at 44. It's tough to bet on these early games, and I think that you need some. I mean, I don't take a lot from preseason, obviously, when most of the time starters and their main players aren't always playing. Mm-hmm. I think that the first week of betting football can sometimes be go with your gut and go with your heart more than do the numbers, because it's the first time we're seeing a lot of these teams really showing their stuff. So it's hard for me to think I know about an over-under at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just more about players for me tonight.
Yeah. If you believe that Geno Smith is not a starting quarterback, things could get pretty
out of hand
pretty quickly. But that also depends too on how great. I mean, I think if you think that Russell Wilson's going to go off and have a great game, and if you believe that Geno Smith is just not a starting QB, I feel like you can kind of group all that together, try to get more money
out
of it.
So you could do Broncos over 25.5 points themselves.
Right.
You could do the Seahawks, their line is 17.5. So if you think that their offense is going to be pretty poor, there's a bet, the over under there, Broncos themselves to hit
match
the over, because 44 is tough if it's just one team.
Right. Right.
So those are the lines for Broncos Seahawks. We just got some breaking news that Dak Prescott is out for 6 to 8 weeks with a thumb injury. So that was a confirmed lengthy amount of time.
I wish I had the line week one for people putting money on the Cowboys missing the playoffs.
Oh,
before yesterday's game. Oh, probably.
I wonder if I can find that.
Sorry to spring that on you. But I know there's probably some people who, there was so much pessimism around the Cowboys this offseason. So I'm sure that there was people who said, here's my big bet, Cowboys are going to miss the playoffs. And those people are probably feeling so good about themselves. maybe they're a little upset because that's the one where it's like, I want to make some money, but also my Cowboys. If you're a Cowboys fan, you're making that bet. If you're not a Cowboys fan and you just expect them to be terrible, congratulations. You probably look pretty smart right now. 6 to 8 weeks, you said?
Yep. It's a long time.
I mean, again, as I think we talked about this early in the show, if the Eagles have a good start and anyone else in their division has a pretty good start, and the Cowboys, again, they did not look good with Dak Prescott in the game. How are they going to look without Dak? Not good.
Not inspiring confidence,
no.
I believe.
So that line's probably moved. Would have felt real smart.
Yeah, I would have too. okay, so other teams in action. We got Blue Jays and Rays starting off, as we've mentioned, a extremely important homestand here. We did see the numbers earlier. The Blue Jays had obviously already set up that Jose Berríos was going to start. The Rays have now confirmed that Cooper Criswell will be starting for them. Not much about Cooper Criswell online, as he has really no track record in the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
He has, I believe, never played a major league baseball game before.
There we go. Welcome.
Yeah, the photo I show of him is actually in an Angels jersey.
Okay.
So, not a lot about Cooper Criswell tonight, but the Blue Jays are heavily favored on the money line, -152. Barrios on the mound. He's been obviously having a little bit of a turnaround here, some ups and downs, like the whole team has had that.
Mm-hmm.
So looking to kind of secure a little bit of consistency tonight. The Rays also, I mean, they're both fighting for a wild card spot right now. So as we mentioned, can't be more of an important game. The Rays were on a 4-game winning streak before they lost the final two games of a really important series with the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously going to look to kind of respond emotionally after two blowouts, really significant, yesterday 10-4.
Mm-hmm.
Yankees are a tough team, but tough to kind of bounce back into that with another really important homestand. So the Rays coming into town, the Blue Jays having an 8-2 into road trip there, which was obviously kind of soured a bit by yesterday's bullpen appearance. But nonetheless, you have someone like a Bo Bichette who's been incredibly consistent. He's been the best player potentially in baseball as of late.
I know that
maybe there's a couple people that would put, you know, like an Aaron Judge in that conversation. But nonetheless, he's been extremely confident in himself. And I think that's rubbing off really positively for the team. So if you want to bet some Bo Bichette props, we can give you those on Unibet. To just get over 1.5 bases, it's plus 100. So there's a little bit of value on that in terms of making money. Bo has been, I think, hitting that most of the time.
Right.
So I would be surprised if he wouldn't.
And if you take yesterday's game, Sunday afternoon's game, into context, that was a really frustrated Bo Bichette.
Understandably.
The strike zone was wide.
Oh, boy.
Yesterday. We didn't really talk about that, but it's fine. Wasn't great. Looked like he was going to break his bat. He was super frustrated. So I feel like you can take that, knowing how hot he's been. Yesterday was a frustrating game. Do we think we're going to see a Bo Bichette come out tonight? Confident Bo Bichette, one of the best hitters in Major League Baseball right now, Bo Bichette, wanting to kind of come back, quote unquote, come back from yesterday, and also make a statement back at home in this really important homestand. If we think that Bo Bichette is that kind of gamer, which he has been over the last 2 weeks, I feel like you can probably make some money off Bo Bichette's bat.
In the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, basically all of September, he's averaged at least one or two hits a game. There's one game, September 7th, where he didn't get a hit. Tonight on Unibet, you can bet Bo, as I said, over 1.5 hits, plus 200, which is, as I said, a brand new pitcher who really don't know much about. Back at home, hottest player in baseball, you can get plus money on him to just get two hits. I love that. I will be betting that. For him to get a run is plus 114, and for him to get over 1.5 bases is plus 100. But I think the value there is plus 200 for him to have two hits.
A Bo Bichette home run is plus 480. Is that a little...
That's intriguing.
I
like that a lot.
I'm curious. Is this where you just slide a little five down?
That's my just $5. For sure. Now you're getting
bucks.
It. You understand.
Bo Bichette was a little grumpy yesterday.
Yeah, he was a little grumpy.
Just a little bit mad. Bo Bichette home run plus 480.
I like that.
I'm intrigued. I've got $5.
All right. Let's do
it. I kind of love that.
Some other things that I am loving from this game. As I said, Jays are heavily on the money line. But if you want to bet them on the run line just to win by two, plus 135, which is more value. Again, there's no value on the money line, but I like to look for the little sneaky plus money. Their over under is at 8.5. I can't tell you about the over under with this pitcher, you know, and also Jose Barrios being kind of up and down as he is. That's a stay away for me, but right. I will be putting a different game in my parlay. So your wake and rake was Russell Wilson. Yeah. Over passing yards, right?
Yeah. Over 253.5 passing yards.
Perfect. Putting that in. And then my bet will be one of the best teams in baseball, the Dodgers. They clinched first playoff team in there. They're playing the Diamondbacks. They're minus 215 on the money line, but I'm going to bet them on the run line, minus 130.
Okay.
It was going to be that or Jays, but since Jays just put their... just confirmed the pitching matchup.
Right.
I want to like reevaluate that.
Right.
It's tough when you do this at 8 a.m.
Dig in a little bit.
You want to do a little bit more research on what's his name? Cortland Sutton? No, it's a different guy.
That's the NFL.
So we got a new guy in there, Cooper Criswell. So I'm going to go with Dodgers on the run line. Our parlay on Unibet is plus 233. A two leg parlay is kind of tough. We don't get much value. But if you wanted to put in the Bo Bichette over hits, what we got here? It gets pretty spicy. That's just like a free bet. How about that? If you add Bo Bichette in there, it's plus 898. That's good money. That's really good money. I love it.
I love looking through this and just putting in, place your bet, $5 and seeing how much I could turn my $5 into. I love that. $5, Beau Bichette. Right now, the line, as we said, home run, plus 480.
Works for me.
My $5 into $29. And that is exactly what I'm looking to do.
I love it. so those are your two big matchups tonight, Jays and Monday Night Football, Broncos and Seahawks, an hour apart. So you can stagger your viewing, which is always difficult on Sundays. Do you have like a one screen setup?
There was so much happening. So I went to go visit my parents yesterday.
Yep.
So I did only have one screen because I was in Denmark for so long. They were watching my dog, Bono.
Mm-hmm.
He's a French bulldog.
He's cute.
It's my Bono plug of the day. So I went to go pick up the dog and hung out with my family. And mm-hmm. yeah, there was just a one screen going on. I'm not a red zone person, so I'm not jumping around to a bunch of different NFL games. I kind of pick my spot. So yeah. I was just doing the, okay, it's commercial. Let me put on the Jays.
It's good.
Okay, let me go check. Let me vibe check this other game here. That was kind of what I was doing yesterday. But normally I'll try to have my laptop going or multiple screens. But yeah, I'm not a big red zone person.
I love it.
But
I do find it's hard to like really follow. Like you're just like, you're obviously bouncing around so much. You're getting little tidbits. But if you want action, right. I love it. I do think if you were like an analyst trying to analyze all the games, you'd really struggle because you're not seeing anything. But I'll usually pick one specific game I like, put that on the screen, and maybe red zone the other one so I can keep an eye out. But it was definitely Bengals for me yesterday at the start of the game. It was good. I'm looking forward to seeing tonight's action. One quick text here about the fantasy football thing.
Oh God.
The girl
be offend somebody.
No, the girl dumping all the players off his roster. That's something that turns someone into a murderer. Don't mess with a man's fantasy football team.
That's his villain origin story. Or hers.
Could be. Yeah. Could be hers. Here's one.
That's a tough one.
My name is Ryan from Whitby. I'm a pretty big Ravens fan. Would Haley be interested in betting a king size bag of Aldrich chips for some sort of bet against her favorite football team?
Oh,
it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a good option.
What do I get? I got to know.
Do you not get the king size bag of Aldrich chips or?
I thought I get the Aldrich chips.
Mm.
Oh no, he's from Whitby. So we're trading Aldrich chips. I'm starting to get tired here.
Ryan,
you know what,
Ryan?
I think that's really fun.
It's nice of Ryan.
The Ravens kind of scare me. I feel like one thing we didn't talk about, why aren't we talking about Lamar Jackson more?
Yeah, he just started the game without a contract and
he turned down that long-term deal. I feel like he's one of the quarterbacks in the league. He's underrated to me. I don't even know if that's the right word. It's just like people love to hate on Lamar Jackson, probably because the playoff results haven't been there.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a really talented quarterback. That no-look pass yesterday, great. He had what, three, four touchdown passes mm-hmm. yesterday? It was great. Really good week one for Lamar Jackson.
It's a very interesting thought that Lamar Jackson says no to this massive contract. Well, it's because Deshaun Watson just like every time that anyone's going to want money, it's because you're just going to compare.
Let's
against,
look at that.
Yeah,
it's gonna be, that really set the.
It really handcuffed a lot of teams,
yeah.
But a big time to bet on yourself, as Fred VanVleet would say. This is your season. Someone's going to give you that bag
mm-hmm.
at the end of it.
I might get that bag of chips.
There you go. I love it.
Absolutely. Was it Ryan? Ryan from Whitby?
Ryan from Whitby.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Well, that's it for the Wake and Rake today. That's it for you this morning. Go rest up. See you tomorrow. Appreciate you coming on. We'll watch some football. We'll watch some Jays tonight. I got two guests that cover exactly that. Ty Dunn and Ricky Romero next on the Ailish Hour. That was the Wake and Rake brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. Haley back tomorrow, and I will continue on with the Ailish Hour. Thanks.